bear witness in the house about the favor of God in the place. You know, favor is likened unto grace. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. But grace is when you get things you didn't even deserve. And I can think of a lot of things that God has given to me that I didn't deserve, saints. That's called God's favor. When God moved the mountain out of my way, now the mountain should have fallen on me. That's called favor. When God lifts you up and puts you in places that man couldn't have done, that's called God's favor. Does anybody know about the favor of God in this place? When your enemy surrounded you, and you should have been consumed, yet God's favor made a way out of no way. Come on, somebody. Daniel had God's favor. Moses had God's favor. David had God's favor. Sing it, choir. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Magnify the Lord. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman that trusteth in him. Bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord today. Won't you stand to your feet? It's preaching time. We thank the Lord today for this choir, for blessing us with songs of praise. We thank the Lord today for the fellowship of the saints. We thank the Lord today for the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost. We thank the Lord today. And we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. For God alone is worthy to be praised. In the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus our Christ. Won't you turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 3. Bless his name. And I want you to let me know that you've arrived at our takeoff point. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Say amen when you've located the text. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8 reads as follows. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11 says, And God said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Skip down to verse number 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify, may sanctify the people of God. Would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, Where Are You? Where are you? Let's pray together. Father, pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your eyesight. For Lord, we believe that you are strength, and we believe that you are Redeemer. We ask now, O God, that you would continue to manifest your glory in this place, that eyes may see, ears may hear, hearts may feel, souls may be convicted. I pray, Lord, that indeed the anointing that breaks the yoke would rest, rule, and abide in these walls and transmit even over the radio to those who shall hear this sermon, who are listening on the radio, and even transmit through the television broadcast to those of you who are looking, who shall look at this sermon. Bless now, O God, have your way, and we shall be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and all of the honor, for you alone are worthy to be praised. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray it. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you, ushers. You may take your seat as well. I forget the saying that you starve a cold and, what is it, burn a fever? Is that it? You feed a cold and starve a fever. Well, I've been burning both of them out, so. But if the feeding a fever is of any consequence, some of y'all have been telling me I've been eating a lot lately. Amen. I even had a sister come and say, I can see your man handles now. Oh, man hips, man hips. So she told on herself, amen. But y'all put that Betty Cole's and Tracy Ross's pound cake out and Lisa Watson's carrot cake drizzled in caramel topping. Amen. Heather's sweet potato pie. It's hard to resist. Amen. So if I'm getting a little bigger, they just say, Pastor, you're looking a little healthier these days. That's all. I had one mother come up and say, you're getting fat. I said, well, thank you, Mother. I love you, too. But to God be the glory. I want to start today's sermon off with that kind of spirit of engaging each other in various different ways. I was riding in the car with Amaris and Daniel, driving them to Kuma, their after-school enhancement program. And I've been noticing lately that my daughter has been intentionally turning on the radio and turning to a radio station. Hadn't really done that up until the last, probably this academic year. As a fifth grader, I think they're turning into that tween stage. Is that right? And as tweens, I'm noticing some things. They're turning on the radio station, and at first, I just started turning it off because I didn't want to hear what they wanted to hear. But then I started listening to it because I wanted to hear what they are listening to. How many know, as parents, you've got to listen to what your kids are listening to make sure that you understand what's going into their ears and what's going into their spirits. You better make sure that you're not separating the FaceTime account. I came down for breakfast one morning, and Maris had her little iPod that allows FaceTiming, and it's connected to Melanie's FaceTime, so everything that they see and email is or text is monitored, if you would. But Maris had the little iPod eating breakfast, wasn't talking. And I looked down, and I saw a face on the iPod. And I said, Maris, is there someone on the iPod? She said, yeah, Dad. I said, who is that? She said, that's Olivia. I said, well, why aren't you and Olivia talking to each other? Well, this is what we do. We just turn it on, and we just go about our business. And every now and again, one of them would say, you there, Maris? And the other one would say, you there, Olivia? Yes, I'm here, Liv. Yes, I'm here, Maris. And I'm like, oh, my, what's going on now? Then I'm noticing they got a little circle of friends that I FaceTime every morning, every afternoon. And so my life and our lives are turning into the tween stages, and many of you have been there before, but it comes with even more attention to what's going on in the lives of your children. Amen, somebody. And as parents, Daniel is at that point where he's looking at the tween stage, and he's not too far off of it from a fourth grader. But Amaris is about to go into junior high school next year. And when I was growing up, junior high school was 7, 8, 9, not 6, 7, 8. And so I said, well, I'm going to have to dust off my weapon a little earlier. I didn't say what kind of weapon. I just said my weapon. Amen. What did you say, Deacon Poole? It has only just begun. Yes, it has. It has only just begun. The knocks on the doors and the late night phone calls, I'm sure, are coming. Amen. But as I said before, I look forward to having that sixth grader come in my house and say, what are your intentions with my daughter? Yes, in sixth grade. So I'm not saying anything that parents haven't already gone through themselves, and parents who have walked through this valley or walked through this rite of passage, if you would. But the one thing I must say, I listened to the radio, and I heard Rihanna's Work. And I had to go on the YouTube and figure out what this is as I listened to the lyrics. And my eyes almost popped out when I looked at the YouTube clip. Some of y'all, I'm looking at you, Donnie, Work. And I heard a few lyrics, so I said, we're going to have to censor that song, yeah. And then I heard, Fifth Harmony, is that it? Fifth Harmony? Yeah, I go to work, we go to work. And some of you don't know, they're going to be at Mercer County Park, I think it's sometime in the next month or so. Nice, catchy tune, but I started listening to the words, and I YouTubed the video, and I said, okay, censor song number two. And then I heard a song called Here, by a young 19-year-old young lady by the name of Alessia Cara, Canadian born and raised. And I went on the YouTube to check that out, and this is what I found.
Here I heard our next guest on the radio, and I immediately said, bring her to me. Her debut song, Here, has over 40 million streams on Spotify. I love her so much. Please welcome 19-year-old Alessia Cara.
Some of y'all may think a little strange I'm playing this on a Sunday morning, but work with me now.
Should have never come to
TV with my beanie low. Yo, I'll be over here. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, oh. I ask myself, what am I doing here? Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. And I can't wait till we can break up out of here. If you're ready, then I'm ready, yeah. If you're ready, then I'm ready, yeah. If you're ready, then I'm ready, yeah, yeah.
So, why did I play that song? Because the lyrics has something that I think young people ought to be a little bit more mindful about. Why and what am I doing here? How did I get here? And it's a question that many of us, if not all of us, have to ask ourselves at some point. How did I find myself in this situation? How did I get where I am, and how do I prevent myself from getting again in the situation in which I find myself, and how do I get out of the situation I have now found myself? It is a question that was provocative to me, catchy beat notwithstanding. I looked at the words, I YouTubed the video, I printed out the words, and I started reviewing with a word here or there. The question is whether secular music, whether you're going to allow your children to listen to secular music or not. And I do think there is an evolution that parents go through in terms of what teaching your children what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. And so as Christian parents, some of us would say we want to isolate them from all things worldly. Well, if you send them to a public school, that's going to be very hard to do. If you send them to a private school, that's going to be very hard to do. Unless you homeschool them and don't allow them to watch television or listen to the radio or go outside, that's going to be hard to do. And so the question becomes, how do you and we continue to sensitize our children in the world in which they're living to help them ask questions that are theological and religious and concerns their faith, but also understand the world in which they're living to let their light shine before men and women that they may see the God in them and choose a different way. Amen, somebody. And so this question that the young lady asked, young Alessia, 19-year-old Alessia Cara, asked, what am I doing here? It made me think of Adam and Eve and how they got themselves in the situation in which they found themselves. Although I'm sure Adam and Eve would not be singing the song with the beat and with the lyrics that Miss Cara sings her song, there is something that is relevant to the song, in the song that's relevant to the scripture that is relevant to the practicality of our lives. What am I doing here? How did I get myself here? And what am I going to do about it now that I find myself here? That's the title of the song here. And it is in this song that my sanctified imagination begin to wander and ponder and ruminate and pontificate over how this applies to modern day life. It's Youth Sunday, after all. It's Second Sunday, and at 11 o'clock, we have a few more youth here. Our youth choir will be singing, our teens and others will be in attendance. We've got a young teenager in our pulpit areas up in the lead. Our worship leadership and young Missiani Willis. By the way, I need you to know Missiani got a full scholarship to come. What is it? Conroe Egan School in Philadelphia. Somebody give God a praise offering. I think it's sports related. Is that right? An athletic scholarship because she has the gift of playing basketball. Not only she has the gift of playing basketball, she has the gift of intellect. So she is a scholar athlete. And I want you to give the Lord a praise offering for a full scholarship in the ninth grade. Right? And going to the ninth grade. That's a beautiful thing. And those of you who know about schools, this school ranks up there. And so whether it's young Miss Siani or any other of our young people, we've got to continue to push the limits and boundaries of how do we keep our youth anchored in the Lord. in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this question of the music that they listen to and helping them to understand is important. And so as I listened to these lyrics and I looked at the lyrics and I begin to even exegete the lyrics, if I can say it that way, again, my mind goes back to Adam and Eve. And there are three words that came to my mind. One is this word of dealing with our regret that they find themselves, or she finds herself in the situation in the song, but in which they find themselves in the situation, Adam and Eve, the regret. It is also a repulsion that goes on in the song, and I would even just say in the text that I want to exegete for you. And then lastly, I want to deal with this last word of remove, because at some point we've got to remove ourselves, or God will remove us. Come on, somebody. And so let's look at the text, and let me just borrow a few thoughts from the song. I want to look at the text. We're exegeting the text, not the song. But in the song, this young lady finds herself being invited to a party. And when she gets to the party, she realizes that between the drinking and the smoking and everything else that's going on in the party, she asks herself, what am I doing here? How did I wind up here? I like hanging with my friends, but how did I get into this situation? Now, unless a lot of us want to play holy and sanctified and we've never been to a party, amen, somebody. Some of y'all just came from a party last night. Don't look at me funny, because I know you did. I didn't say what kind of party, but I'm sure there's a get together that you've had with your friends. And I'm hoping that the climate of the get together was wholesome and healthy. I'm hoping that the friends in the get together were somebody that was positive and not negative. But a lot of us are still attracted to places and to spaces that are destructive for our spirits and our very beings. And so the young lady in the song asks herself the question, with regret, what am I doing here? It reminds me of Adam, and it reminds me of Eve, that as God has placed them into the Garden of Eden, the Bible says they had the full reign of the garden. You can eat of any tree, God says, except that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat it from this one, you can eat it from that one, but not of that one. And how many of you know it is often that very thing that we cannot have that we want to have? Parenting has to be a little bit about reverse psychology, doesn't it? Because when you tell your children they cannot, the first thing they want to ask is why, and I want to know why can't I? And so maybe there's some reverse psychology that some of you have learned that we need to pass down through the ages about how we steer our children. God says to Adam and Eve, everyone except that one, and here slithers in the enemy, here slithers in the devil. God didn't really say that. Did God really mean that you would be elevated to infinite wisdom status? No, that's not what God meant. That's not what God says. And how many of you know that if you find yourself in the wrong space and the wrong place, the devil has an opportunity to maximize the wrongness of your space and your place? I'm not saying he can't do it in any other space, but when you know you're going into places and spaces that may not be healthy and whole, the question is, are you opening yourself up for the enemy to come in and start playing tricks with your mind? The Bible says that the devil tempts Adam and tempts Eve, and whichever one you want to throw the story on, they both messed up. Adam tried to blame his wife. That's a poor man who blames his wife. Amen, somebody. It's a poor man that doesn't take responsibility for his own actions. It's a poor man who doesn't stand up and say, I made a mess, I messed up. It's a poor man who doesn't acknowledge their faults. It's a poor man that doesn't acknowledge their weaknesses. It's a poor man that doesn't stand up and own their transgressions. And so Adam, in the text, strikes me as a man who has abdicated his right to be the head of the household because he blames his wife. She did it. Then he has the nerve to implicate God, the woman you gave me. As if God has something to do with his mess up. Come on, somebody. We don't hear Eve's side of the story other than she gave the fruit to Adam. And we hear it through Adam's lens. And the reality is they both messed up. But Adam messed up first because God created him first. And God told him first to make sure that he takes care of his wife and his sin and the garden in which God placed him in. God has given man the responsibility of being the covering over his family. And men must step up and stand up to be the covering over their families, the covering over their wives, the covering over their children, the covering over their churches, the covering over their communities. Do I have a witness here today? We need men to be the covering over that which God has entrusted to the into their care. And so Adam should have known better. Eve should have known better. She, whatever, however you look at the story, the reality is they both messed up. And the story picks up with God walking through the garden, looking for Adam and looking for Eve. And there they were, shivering and hiding in the bushes with leaves wrapped around their bodies because their nakedness has now become a transgression. I mean, you know, when you're standing before God, you ought to be able to stand before God naked and unashamed. You ought to be able to give God everything you have because there's nothing that God cannot see. There's everything that God has created, and God knows everything about us. For us to get into the silly mindset that we're hiding it from God is to deny the reality that God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. There's nowhere you can go that God is not already there. There's nothing you can do that God does not see. There's nothing you can think that God doesn't already know. God is all God by God Almighty by Himself. So God asked the question, where are you, Adam? He wasn't talking about his GPS location, his XY axis, his coordinates on his mathematical scale. No, God was asking a spiritual question. Adam, where are you? And Adam, because he regrets what he did, he's hiding. And when we fall into our transgressions, we ought to fall into some level of remorse and regret. It's a scary person who sins before God has no recourse, no remorse, no regret for what they've done, no consideration for how God is going to react. When we just are big and bad and do what we want to do, I tell you, pride goes before the fall. God says, Adam, where are you? The Bible says he knows exactly where he is physically. But the Bible goes on to say, verse number 10, I heard your voice and I was afraid. Some translations say I was ashamed because I was naked and I hid myself. So the regret. The young lady in the song says, I regret being here because folk who are trying to talk to me for the wrong reasons. I don't want to have any part of your drinking, she says. And no, I don't need a boyfriend, she says. And it brings me to my second point, which is this notion of repulsion. Once you've fallen in, if you fall in, and I'm making somewhat of an assumption that all of us are not as saintly as we think we are. We all gonna fall into something. We're all gonna find ourselves in places and spaces that we ought not be in. The question is, do you like wallowing in your stuff? Are you gonna get to a point where you are repulsed by what's going on in and around you, where you want a change in your life? Young lady, Miss Kara, gets to a point, she says, look, I'll be over here. I'm repulsed by the person, the brother drinking up, throwing up because of what's in his cup. I'm repulsed by what's going on that side. I let my friends know, I'm going to be out there. I'm not going to stay in here. I'm going to get out of the place in which I find myself. Here's the point I like that has the practical reality of young girls particularly. That you don't allow anybody to keep you somewhere that you don't want to be. Come on, somebody. You don't allow any man, any person to do something to you that you don't want to do. You've got to stand up and take control of your body. Stand up and take control of your mind. Stand up and take control of your circumstance. I'm not going to let anybody keep me somewhere that I don't want to be. She said, peace, I'm out. I'll be over here. So the young lady gets to a point where she's repulsed. But in the text, Adam and Eve don't necessarily find themselves at a place of repulsion. God finds God's self at a place of repulsion. The Bible says in verse number 11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? I'm repulsed that you broke my commandment, that you strayed from what I told you to do. And I believe the reality is God gets repulsed daily by some of the stuff that we do, we say, and we think. Question is, do we care that God gets repulsed? Is our repulsion any reflection of God's repulsion of the circumstances in which we find ourselves? So we often say the devil made us do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. The devil may have tempted you to do it. The devil may have enticed you to do it. The devil may have even invited you to do it, but you've got a decision to make. Am I going to say it or not? Am I going to write it or not? Am I going to think it or not? Am I going to do it or not? The devil didn't make us do it. We are repulsed. We've got to get to a point where we are repulsed by what's going on in the situation in which we find ourselves. And then that repulsion has to be translated into action. But it takes me to the point that we've got to remove ourselves. And the removal becomes the practical response to our regret, our remorse, and our repulsion. I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm not going to let you keep me here anymore. I'm not going to let you keep me down anymore. I'm going to remove myself from the circumstance and from this. I'm going to extricate myself from your vice grip. I'm going to take myself away from your hold. I'm not going to stay here anymore. Some of us need to get to a point where I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm not going to let the devil run my life. I'm not going to let my friends control my life. I'm not going to let that man beat me down anymore. I'm not going to let them take me my entire integrity from me anymore. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to take myself out of the situation. If I can't change you, I can change me. If I can't move you, I can move me. If I can't get you out of my way, I can get me out of my way. Do I have a witness here today? Has anybody ever just had to take themselves out of the situation? Has anybody ever just had to remove themselves from the circumstance? Has anybody ever had to extricate themselves out of the reality? I don't know about you, but there comes a time when folk can't keep their foot on your neck. You've got to rise up, throw their foot off your neck. Dr. King said it this way, man cannot ride your back as long as it's bent over. When you stand up, straighten up your back, the devil got to do something. Come on, somebody. And when you stand up and stretch your hands towards the heavens, when you stand up and look to the hills from whence cometh your help, God has a way of stepping into your situation. When you call on the name of the Lord, God has a way. of stepping in. So yeah, the little part of the song I like that I want to teach my daughter is that you don't have to stay anywhere that you don't want to stay. You can get yourself up out of here. But in the text, God punishes Adam and he punishes Eve. To the point where the text says in verse number 24, he drove out the man, placed cherubim, placed them at the east of the Garden of Eden, and flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God is going to guard God's way. Let me say that. The devil thinks he can win, but the devil is already defeated. The devil thought he had the weeds growing up in the garden, but God said, no, this is my garden. I'm going to protect what's mine. Whatever I need to do, I'm going to do what I need to do because I'm God all by myself. And I need someone here today to understand that if you don't remove yourself, God might just have to remove you from the situation. And I don't know what that looks like, but I've come to the point in my 47 years, I'd rather remove myself than have God remove me. I'd rather stand up for myself than have God sit me down. I'd rather have God open the door than me trying to walk through it myself. I need someone here to understand that God is going to be God. And when God gets ready, God's going to step into the situation and he's going to shut down some stuff. He's going to remove some stuff. He's going to move some people. And you've got to be of the mindset. You and I have to be of the mindset that we have the ability to cut some things off. We have the ability to cut some people off if need be. We have the ability to remove ourselves through the grace of Almighty God. Because if we mess up and let God have to do it, you may not like the way God does it, but God will do it because God will only stand so long for foolishness and unrighteousness, and God would only stand so long for diabolicalness and cynicism. God will only stand so long for pessimism and hidden agendas. God will only stand so long for all of the negative stuff that the devil's trying to do. God would only stand so long before God steps into the situation. And when God's holiness shows up, when God's righteousness shows up, when God's power shows up, when God's knowledge shows up, I don't know about you, but who can stand before the presence of Almighty God? He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He's a loving God. He's got all power in his hands. And when God shows up, he will straighten out the crooked places and smooth over the rough places. I just want to end right here by simply saying the song, as cute and hip as it might be, has some merit to it. But the text is what feeds our souls. And my prayer is that you and I would ask ourselves some questions. And I'll leave you on this, these three questions. Question number one is, how do we be more mindful about the physical places and spaces in which we place ourselves? Our witness matters. Where we go and the spaces we occupy matter. Number two, how do we strengthen our will and resolve to physically remove ourselves from certain places and certain spaces? And we've got to help each other to know that you don't have to stay in a bad place. You can move yourself away from and out of. And then ask yourself the question, from what places and spaces do I need to remove myself right now? Because truth be told, we all have some spaces and we all have some places we probably need to let go of. Now, I'm not just talking about physical. I'm talking about mental, spiritual places. See, the devil likes having pity parties, and he likes having folk invited to the pity party. But you got to be of the mindset, I'm not going to let anybody invite me to their physical pity party, and I'm not going to let anybody invite me to their spiritual pity party. The Lord has been too good to me to have a pity party. I don't know where you've been, but I can tell you where God's brought me out of. He's brought me from a mighty long way. And because he's moved mountains out of my way, because he's opened doors for me, I've got a reason to praise him. Do I have any praisers up in the house? I've got a reason to magnify him. I've got a reason to exalt him. He's brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. He's put my feet upon a rock where I can stand. I'm not gonna let no devil, I'm not gonna let no demon rob me of my joy. God has been good to me. Better than good. Do I have a witness here today? Has God done anything for anybody up in the sanctuary? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let the church say amen. Give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation. As we sing the song, my prayer is that someone here today would receive the gift of everlasting life. This is the time, if you already know the Lord, that we want to invite you to join the church, if you are so inclined to do so. A lot of folk come to worship service and they profess the Lord Jesus, but they haven't made a decision to really become a part of a body. So it's my prayer today that whoever you are, if you've already accepted Jesus, that you would consider becoming a part of the church. We want to invite you right now to do that. Whoever you are, wherever you've come from, move your space and come into God's space in the name of Jesus. Anyone here today want to join the church? Go ahead and sing choir. We offer. Anyone here today want to join the church? Anyone want to join the church?
Oh, my brother, we offer Christ to you.
The second invitation is for anyone who wishes to give their life to Christ today. I don't know who you are, where you've come from. I can tell you this, God wants you to get closer to him. So if you're here today, I want you to come in the name of Jesus. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. You who are weary.
You who are weary and heavy laden.
Why don't you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed, pray with me right now. Father, I come right now asking your blessings upon these men and women, boys and girls. I come asking, dear Lord, that you would touch someone. We've cast the net out today, and I pray that you would draw someone to you, God. Holy Ghost, move in someone's life. Break the yoke that binds them. Bring them to where they want to, what you want them to be. In the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Go ahead and sing choir. To Christ. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? To Christ. Nobody else. Not your mother, not your father. Not the preacher, not the deacon. Christ alone. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Thank you, Lord. To Christ. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and put your hands together. Give the Lord a praise offering. You may be seated. God bless you.